We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, here we are in the kitchen and the popcorn not too far away within arm's length. And it is a good evening to you and how you be at about, 10:04 on this Monday night in your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here and you there on the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Paulie Rosenberg. And no, from the 1-877-337-6666. And it'll be, of course, that number for another 2 hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata and Sal coming your way at midnight right here on your fan, New York City. And what a pleasure. It's been a while since we have welcomed aboard Ken Davidoff of the New York Post to talk a little bit with the baseball with Ken. First of all, Ken, hope everybody is with you and your family okay, doing well, safe, sound, and healthy as can be. And thank you for a couple of minutes of your time.
Steve Summers, it is always an honor to speak with you. Thank you for having me. And yeah, everyone's good here, and I hope the same goes for you.
Well, yes, we knock on Formica. And we are happy that everything is good with you and okay with us, too. Thank goodness. First of all, let's talk with the Yankees. Can they, with what baseball we have, and we have plenty of baseball left, what can the Yankees do, if anything, to fix all of the issues that they have?
Well, quite simply, Steve, they can hit. You know, I mean, DJ LeMahieu can approach what he accomplished the prior 2 years with the Yankees. Clint Frazier can hit like he did last year. Giancarlo Stanton can hit like we know he can. Brett Gardner can approach his career norms. Miguel Andujar can keep hitting like he has lately. That's, at this point, it's more likely than not that they don't come back. But if they do come back, it will be because they hit.
Well, here's another thing, too. They better run the bases and the right way. And it's also with fundamentals and hitting into double plays, which is part of not hitting. I'd rather you would see, if you're a Yankee fan, doubles instead of double plays, running the bases, fundamentals. How much of what ails the Yankees is Boone's fault? And where does that mean? What does this mean for a guy like Cashman? Should either of the two or both be on the hot seat?
I don't think either of them is on the hot seat imminently, Steve. I'd be very surprised if there was an in-season change. However, we're talking about this team missing the playoffs and the subsequent consequences. Yeah, it's hard to see Aaron Boone coming back if they miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Boone's in the last year of his contract, and I would be surprised if he came back. Brian Cashman has one more year after this year. He has a deeper, longer track record than Aaron Boone. So it's a little more complex decision there.
If someone wanted to be reasonable and sensible and also looking at the overall picture, you would say, well, there's an awful lot of baseball still to be played. And I mentioned earlier, Ken, that when the Yankees lose, it looks like they're never going to win again. And when they win, it looks like they're never going to lose again. They have been so, so streaky. And yes, there is an awful lot of baseball to be played. But outside of number one with your hitting, and you're certainly on the money with that, what evidence has there been from a pitching point of view, from a fundamental point of view and hitting point of view as well, that what evidence has there been presented to anybody looking in on the Yankees that gives any of us the impression that 8.5 games out and three teams ahead of them, that they're going to turn things around?
There is scant evidence, Steve. I'm not going to dispute that. I think if you wanted to be a cockeyed optimist, steal a show from your good pal Jerry Seinfeld, you could look at the hitters' track records, as I mentioned. You could look at Gerrit Cole, as good a pitcher as there is in baseball, aside from that fellow who pitches in Flushing. You could look at Jordan Montgomery, really establishing himself as a solid major league starter, and the same with Domingo Germán. You could look at an excellent bullpen. You talk about the base running. Maybe that can get a little better, but base running is not going to be this team's strength ever. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. Defense was good during their good stretch in May, so there's some hope there. So, yeah, if you're enough of an optimist, then you can find an avenue back to the playoffs.
Well, you're making me think about the baseballs. Are there going to be any adjustments, do you think, with the very dense baseballs with warning track power? Do you think there is going to be an in-season change with baseballs, or is this something that's going to have to happen, if it happens at all? And you got to believe it will, because Major League Baseball is obviously investigating. And you know what I think? Nothing is going to happen, no matter what rules or regulations. First of all, there's rules and regulations and on the books already, but they're not enforced. And if there is some kind of difference with the baseballs, and, I mean, would it happen this year with what remains this season, or is it something that is going to be talked about and addressed at the end of the season? What are your thoughts about that?
Are you referring to the sticky stuff, Steve, or the baseball itself?
Well, both. I mean, I can't see anything changing. I mean, I really don't, because, as you know, as well as anyone, I mean, since the beginning of mankind and womankind, I mean, there's always been cheating and trying to get an edge, and no matter what Major League Baseball decides with the stickiness and also with the baseballs, both, I can't see much of a change, because we've had players, both position players and pitchers, trying to get an edge since the beginning of time. So I don't know, whatever Major League Baseball is going to do, I don't think it's going to mean too much, because I think, for the most part, getting caught is what really is something that most teams, players, are concerned about, and the cheating will continue. I don't know about the baseballs with the grip and the sticky stuff and with all of that, but if they do change the baseballs, then obviously some of what we have seen is not going to be there anymore, and I'm wondering if those changes with the ball are going to be made during the course of this season, or will it be something after this season is all said and done?
Well, there's two separate issues there, Steve. So the baseball itself, I don't see that changing. I think they changed that in the offseason, and it's kind of hard to change mid-season, you know, because the ball's already produced for the season. But if you're talking about the sticky stuff, I think we've already seen a change just in the last couple weeks. I think you've seen offense go up and strikeouts go down. Mm-hmm. I think baseball leaked the news that it planned to enforce against the sticky stuff more stridently, and I think you've seen offense go up. Even, you know, we're talking about the Yankees. The Yankees' offense has gone up in the last week or so, and I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, tied back into the increased enforcement, which is coming. I anticipate an announcement by Major League Baseball very soon, perhaps even this week, about exactly how this will play out with the increased enforcement. So, from the Yankees' perspective, I think that would mean potentially more offense, but on the other side, potentially giving up more runs.
What an awful, awful nightmare this weekend was, because Taillon and Germán together, I think, what was it, about five innings? I mean, and you're not getting length. Taillon, I think, has been the riskiest of the risk-taking that Cashman did with Kluber and with Taillon. Taillon, if he does go five innings, I mean, that is a mitzvah. That is something to have a... I'm serious, and you know from what I'm talking, he doesn't give you any kind of length. And again, even the second time around through the lineup is going to be more times than not a disaster. It's not going to be a third time. He can't go more than five innings. What happens with the rotation? And then on the news that Severino had a setback, and we saw him with the hamstring during the game from the other day. So it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. What is going to happen with Taillon? What do you do with him? Because it doesn't look like he has much to offer in terms of length or in getting the kind of outs he needs to get.
No, you're not wrong, Steve. I laugh because you use the word mitzvah. And as you know, my college major was Yiddish. Taillon has been a huge disappointment. No two ways about it. You're 100% right. I think he continues to get opportunities because they don't have great other options. Davey Garcia has really scuffled down in the minor leagues, which is a disappointment because I really thought he showed real promise last year when he got called up. So what's interesting about Taillon still is when you look at his strikeouts to walks, they're very encouraging. I'm looking now. It's a 3.41 ratio, strikeouts to walks, which is very good. He's just not able to convert that into solid results. He's really, as you said correctly, third time through the lineup, sometimes even second time through the lineup, really struggling to put guys away with two strikes, despite that strikeouts to walk ratio. So he is a headache, but a headache they're not quite ready to give up on yet. Severino, we're still awaiting more information. It was the groin, actually, not the hamstring. We'll find out what's up with that. But that was certainly a very bad event for the Yankees because he seemed to be on a good track back.
I saw something earlier today that maybe three prospects were about to be called up. I heard of a Luis Medina, a Hayden Wesnitzki, and somebody by the name of Ken Waldichuk. From high A ball with 55 strikeouts and 30 and two-thirds innings. Have you heard anything about these three getting promoted?
Promoted to the major leagues from high A ball?
Well, I mean, this is what I was reading on a sports website. Again, maybe it's fake news. And, of course, I'm susceptible to that already. What is it? But that's why I'm asking you, if you have heard of any of these three kids getting promoted to the varsity.
I am not familiar with that, Mr. Summers.
Okay. Well, you can call me Steve. But the bottom line is, well, I may have to double-check on this. And I thought when I knew you were going to be on that, I would double-check with you. And I'm not coming off looking good on this one. But nonetheless, I wouldn't be surprised. Seriously, so even a kid from high A ball getting promotion. I mean, what do the Yankees have to lose except maybe another baseball game? And maybe they get strike some lightning with one of these prospects who apparently are doing good enough to be promoted. Now, a high A ball, I even mentioned earlier in the program that high A ball does sound like somewhat of a stretch. Calling him, I mean, not double A, not triple A, all the way to the varsity. I mean, that may not be the right kind of move, but, you know, the 55 strikeouts in 30 and two-thirds innings, you know, may have attracted some attention, and maybe they give this kid some kind of a chance, hoping for some good things to happen. Are you surprised that with the New York Metropolitans, Ken, and we're talking with Ken Davidoff, the columnist for the New York Post, are you surprised that the Mets are holding on to first place with all of the major injuries they have had?
I certainly am, Steve, yeah. If you had told me, you know, if you had been kind enough to invite me back on March 29th, which for some reason you did not, then said, all right, here the guys will be injured for these lengths of time. And how do you think they'll be doing on June 14th? Then I would have said, oh, well, they sure as heck won't be in first place. But here they are. I think it's a tribute to them. And let's be honest, it's also a condemnation of the rest of the division, which has really, really struggled.
Right. And are you a fan of Rojas?
I am a fan of Rojas, and I agree. I know there was a lot yesterday. I was in Philly with the Yankees yesterday, but I know there was a lot of scrutiny on his decision yesterday. In-game tactics are clearly not Luis Rojas' strength. Clearly, he has work to do on that. But I would also argue that's not necessarily the biggest requirement of a manager. The biggest requirement of a Major League Baseball manager is to make sure his players are in the right frame of mind to go out there every day and win ball games. And I think Luis Rojas is a very authentic person. He knows a lot of these homegrown Mets because he spent so much time in their minor league system. And I think these guys want to play hard for Luis Rojas. And, yeah, I think he certainly deserves credit for how they're doing.
Do you think we will see, anytime this season, Ken, do you think we'll see Carrasco or Syndergaard?
I will say yes on both, but it might be when you put away your white pants, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so the short answer. And but nonetheless, I hope you're right as somebody that does root for the Metropolitans. And, of course, you know, we're still waiting for McNeil and still waiting for Conforto. And what was it, the first part of this season with the postponements and with the COVID and with the weather and even going to Denver when there was a lot of snow from the day before they were to play their first game with the Rockettes. And the bottom line is that for a long time, it seemed like the RBI leader for the Metropolitans, Ken, was Conforto's elbow guard. And nobody else. I mean, seriously, it won a game. What is it? So the bottom line, and we miss Conforto, and we miss McNeil. So do you have any idea when they might return? Maybe sooner than Carrasco and Syndergaard, but do you have any idea when they may be back in the lineup?
Well, McNeil is on a minor league rehab stint, so he's on the clock, and I think relatively soon, the next week or two, and Conforto supposedly is not too far away from starting his own rehab stint. So for sure, barring dramatic setbacks, they both will be well ahead of those pitchers you mentioned.
Yeah, and the Mets, I think the game is over now with the Cubs. And
One out in the top of the ninth.
Oh, top of the ninth. Okay, so and still 5-2, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm in the kitchen where I haven't got a television, and if you were here in the kitchen, you'd know what I'm talking. I would have to go into the living room, and that is something I cannot see where we have the television. I try to get it from my phone, and that is either under sheets of paper and notes and so forth and so on, and your column from today, of course, in the New York Post. And so the bottom line is I'm not always to see every single pitch like I like to see when I'm looking in on the games that I look in on. Well, the bottom line is with the Metropolitans, and I know they have a very tough schedule coming up with three, I believe, soon enough. Three doubleheaders, is it not so, within about a week's time. So they may have to really take it very easy with their bullpen and hope to get as much length as they can out of their starters. Now, tonight, as somewhat of a surprise, that Peterson lasted as long as he did. And of course, I mean, the bottom line is the rotation. The rotation has been decent. I mean, certainly with DeGrom. And DeGrom, I understand, is going to make his start on Wednesday. So the Metropolitans dodging a bullet on Friday night when Cy Grom had to leave the game after six innings.
Yeah, I was at that game Friday night. When they said flexor tendonitis, I thought, okay, this is a big deal. You know, sometimes flexor tendonitis can lead to Tommy John surgery. So I was absolutely stunned when DeGrom spoke after the game and said, no, I'm good. I'll be back in 5 days. This is highly unusual, and we'll see. You know, it's as brilliant as DeGrom has been, it is concerning for the Mets, has to be concerning, that he missed the time earlier with the right side issue, and now he's saying, oh, by the way, I have flexor tendonitis, but I'm going to pitch through it.
Right. And again, no, and he seems to be, you know, okay, looking forward to Wednesday against the Cubs. And Marcus Stroman, after missing all of last year, He has had a terrific season, and on Saturday, of course, only giving up a single run as he pitched himself into the seventh inning, and the Metropolitans beating San Diego. So Stroman and DeGrom have been, of course, just fantastic as a 1-2 in the rotation. And to get Carrasco back eventually and to get Syndergaard back, you would like to think that's going to be a plus, but you never know, because when you're coming back from Tommy John, as Syndergaard would be, you just don't know if he is going to be anywhere close to what he used to be before he got hurt, even though before he got hurt he wasn't having the best of times. But you would like to think that he is certainly going to add to the rotation in a positive way if he is anything close to what he used to be.
Yeah, Steve, I think you nailed it. Look, mathematically, most pitchers do come back from Tommy John surgery as good as they were before, if not better, but not all of them. You know, if you remember, Zach Wheeler had Tommy John surgery back in 2015 in spring training, and he missed not only that entire season, but the entire 2016 season, and really wasn't his old self until 2018. So, you know, this is not a simple surgery that you can just count on a guy coming back. The fact that Syndergaard already has had this one significant setback, and yeah, maybe he can come back Labor Day and be a real September and playoff force. That's a real possibility. But it's also a real possibility that either he doesn't come back at all, or that he comes back but is not back to the Noah we knew.
Mm-hmm. And look at who has helped the Metropolitans with all the injuries. McKinney, I mean, and who was this when they picked him up? Somebody who wasn't hitting, and Milwaukee couldn't wait to get rid of him. And then you have the Peraza's and Villars and Pilar's. They have all come through to contribute in a very good way to where the Metropolitans are right now, sort of like with the Yankees, with the Tauchmans and the Urshelas and the ball players that they were picking up with all the injuries from a couple of seasons ago. And it seems like the Metropolitans so far in this season, a lot of baseball to go, have found a lot of these players that were to be named later, making a tremendous name for themselves, helping the Metropolitans win baseball games.
No doubt about it, Stephen. Billy McKinney, he's been around the block. I mean, the Yankees had him for a bit. He was in the Chapman trade. You know, they got him from the Cubs for Chapman. He was probably the fourth guy in that show, the four guys they got in that trade. And then they traded him with Brandon Drury, who's now a Met also, for Jay Happ. So he's been around and around and around. And it's to the Mets' credit for just making sure they had enough roster depth. And it's to these guys' credit for capitalizing on this opportunity and, as you said, making a name for themselves and boosting their values.
And turning things around in the Metropolitan bullpen, Edwin Diaz. He's now, Ken, getting people out.
He is. Certainly is. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. Ken, I want to thank you for a couple of minutes here talking a little bit with the baseball and continued with the terrific column that you write. And the whole thing that we'll have you on again soon, let's hope, and not take as much time between visits, and stay safe and sound and healthy. And again, thanks for a couple of minutes of your time.
Steve, it's always a privilege to talk to you. Not to make you feel old, but I'm old, and I've been listening to you since I was in high school. you are the GOAT, as they say, the greatest of all time. And I just hope you keep going and going and going.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. It means a lot coming from you. And I will say the same, of course. You're a must read in the New York Post. So be well and stay safe and sound. And thanks once again.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.